This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh, entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello and happy Friday.
Hi.
We made it. And guess what? It's Mercury retrograde.
Ba-da-ba-da-bam-bam. That is why, bad things have probably been happening to you today.
I refuse. No. I'm actually, so many good things have been happening, so I'm just going to be going in that flow.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not thinking about it. It's not happening. You know, perception is
you
reality.
You are thinking about it because you
ignorance
brought it
is
up.
Bliss.
You literally brought it up.
For everyone else because I've been seeing it in my feed, but I'm still trying to not, you know, think about it. I'm just letting everyone know.
You can't not think about it when you bring it up.
Well, I'm just reporting the news.
Oh, my God. I mean, and then you have to beware. Remember we talked about the what comes after retrograde. It's retro shade. It's that little small little pieces of like lingering of retrograde.
Well, we always have shade here, so I guess nothing to
True.
What are your plans for the weekend?
I don't know. I honestly really don't know. And that's like weird. Actually, lies. I am shooting something for World Kindness Day is coming up November 13th, and I'm very, very excited for it. And I am shooting something with an amazing organization called Project Q. And they are a beautiful organization downtown. It is by a queer, non-binary woman of color. And they have started this organization to give haircuts to LGBTQ youth, and they have started a community center where they do self-empowerment workshops.
Whoa.
And they do like yoga, and it's like a really cool and then they're also creating their own space.
I love
where
that.
You know, it's a collaborative space so other businesses can come in and work, and so it's really cool. I can't wait to hang out with them on Saturday. I'm very, very excited about it.
Where can people follow them on Instagram, because I want to follow them now.
Cool. You can check them out at project_Q_, I believe it is.
Okay.
If not, you can just check out my Instagram on November 13th, and you'll see a cool little video that I'm
doing.
Very
nice. Meanwhile, I jogged today. This was a first in a long time. So I feel good.
Yes. Love that for you.
You know, it gets the blood going to my brain, so I don't get brain farts during the show. You know, it's important to work out and get your blood flowing. So if you didn't have time this week, go ahead and do it this week and work out.
Oh, God.
Let's get into some more trending in the news right now.
That is hilarious.
Top of the hour.
I have the giggles today, guys, so be
good.
Prepared
giggles
for that.
Giggles are good.
Oh, God.
It's better than being unhappy and angry, because that's a lot of that's happening in the world. Okay, so President Trump today said there would be no public hearings in the impeachment inquiry as he continues to fight against the process. This is what he had to say as he left the White House for events in Georgia. He said they shouldn't be having public hearings. This is a hoax. The first public hearings in the process are set to take place next week. It's happening, you guys. And it's going to be entertaining or just make us feel bad about the future of America. House Democrats are investigating the allegations that Trump abused his office by urging foreign governments, as we know, to investigate former VP Joe Biden, his rival, as well as Biden's son, over that now infamous call he had with the Ukraine president in July. The committees leading the impeachment inquiry this week released transcripts of their closed-door hearings with several former and current officials. So it's happening. Countdown begins.
I mean, I'm wondering, and it speaks volumes, and you guys listening, you're all pretty smart because you listen to this show, and you probably caught that the fact that he's saying that he doesn't want there to be any public hearings, it's like, well, what do you have to hide, mister? Like, what are you so scared about that you don't want the public to know? You want to continue to kind of have, you know, the lead, you want to lead the narrative in some ways. And I think it's about to come to a point where he's not going to be able to lead anything anymore. And he's kind of losing the reins. And I'm very excited to see him under pressure because he is freaking out.
Okay, so before we go into more Trump news, we're going to take a little break for some other news. This is trending right now, and I know
yeah,
you love headlines.
This. Let's do it.
ABC's fresh off the boat for all the fans out there. This is the longest running sitcom about an Asian American family, of course, in broadcast TV history. It's ending this season, unfortunately.
Not unfortunately for Constance.
Well, I want to get to that.
She threw a major birthday party for that, probably. She over there drinking, took several shots. She's drunk by this point.
ABC notified production and the cast this week that it will not order more episodes of the show, and it's going to be ending next year with its 14th and 15th episode, serving as a one-hour series finale. In a press release sent out today, ABC confirmed the news and announced that the finale will air on February 21st. And now, just like you, Ryan, everyone is joking about Constance Wu's freedom with the announcement of the show's cancellation, congratulating her on social media.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those moments where it's like a full circle moment where I know she just, when she found out the news, she was like, yeah, she pretended like, oh my God, I'm going to miss you guys. And then she, as soon as she like went into her dressing room, she probably popped a bottle of champagne and was like, finally, I'm done with these a-holes.
Right? Because we've reported about how she's wanted to take so many roles, but she couldn't because of the show.
Yeah. We talked about it on What's Tea. It was one of those things where she had a rant on Twitter where she had lost her whole entire mind.
Oh, when it got picked up again.
Yeah. She wrote effing hell on Twitter and then it followed by a rant and people called her out like, dude, are you kidding me? And I think it was probably very awkward, you know, when they jumped back into filming, very awkward for her and the rest of the cast and the crew and all that.
That was the beginning of the end, I think.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Why would you want to continue to work with her?
Yeah, she's known as a diva. She's been known, even in Hustlers, right? Didn't she argue because she wasn't getting the same amount of attention as J-Lo?
That was a rumor, but you never know. Honestly, she's following in the footsteps of Katherine Heigl, and so, honey, she better watch out before she doesn't have a career anymore.
Although she adopted two kids, a bunch of kids, Heigl. So she seems like a good person now.
That doesn't mean that your work ethic doesn't suck. Yeah. And I loved Izzy. She messed everything up.
So we're moving back to news about President Donald Trump. We just want a little break. So he has repeatedly attacked the whistleblower who reported his call with the Ukrainian president, accusing him of lodging a fake complaint. Now, it has prompted, this came out a few hours ago, one of the whistleblower's lawyers to issue a cease and desist letter to the White House telling Trump to stop. This is what they wrote. I am writing out of deep concern that your client, the president of the United States, is engaging in rhetoric and activity that places my client, the intelligence community whistleblower, and their family in physical danger. This is according to CNN. The letter comes as Trump supporters and associates, including his son and right-wing websites, have publicized the unverified name of someone rumored to be the whistleblower. You know, there's things that you're not supposed to do. Stop doing things that you're not supposed to do. It's like amazing that they need to get a cease and desist letter to protect someone's identity.
I mean, they need to. I don't know. This thing, this entire situation is very dangerous for the, like, you know, anytime that someone takes the necessary things, like they follow the rules when it comes to doing everything they have to do for complaints in the White House, and then obviously you see now they're being destroyed and their names are being leaked on like the Drudge Report and all these things. It's a dangerous time.
It is dangerous.
It's like that's scary. Like their lives could be threatened at any point. So I don't know. This Trump is something else, to be honest.
Well, he is something else, and he responded to news that Michael Bloomberg might be running for president in 2020.
I think that guy announced. I don't know who that dude is.
Okay, we'll be talking more about that right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
There is some gossip that Michael Bloomberg might be running in the Democratic race in 2020, and President Trump is not so happy about that, but thinks, of course, that he could win. A lot of people are talking about that if Michael Bloomberg does run, that he could possibly be a good rival, that he could win the race. But this would shake up what's happening right now. Like, why do it now? Like, you're a bit late to the game.
So here's the thing. I am on, I see both arguments. I see, yes, possibly he could be very good at what he does because he was a mayor in New York for 3 terms, which
he did really
pretty
well.
Huge deal. But also some of his policies, when especially when it came to black and brown people, were a little bit iffy. I mean, he started, it was like a frisk, like a stop and frisk thing that, you know, often causes a lot of black and brown people, you know, headaches when it comes to dealing with police officers. And I think he fails theirs, and also a lot of his messagings when it comes to like the Me Too movement have kind of been off, and I think that's been something that a lot of people have critiqued him on, saying like, yeah, he could be possibly very good to come in to join this race, but also I do feel like it's too late. I feel like he is just another billionaire who thinks, oh, I have all this money and I can do this, and it does speak volumes to someone joining this race so lately. They're thinking, especially a part of the Democratic Party, obviously they're saying that there is no one that is on the candidacy right now that they think could actually beat Trump, and so they feel like they can. And I just honestly think it's like so I think it's so like gross that this billionaire thinks he can just join whenever and he has all this money
after all the work that? After the debates, after the
we already
the campaign
have
money
Steyer,
put in
like the it's like,
the
like,
differences between him and Tom is that he actually has political experience and he's proven that he could do it and that people are on his side, and
I
people say
it.
That if Trump's going to be a billionaire and run, then like, oh, this is a great opponent because he's also been a billionaire, but and people look at him in that same light because he's been successful. Well, here's how
we can't just settle. I don't care.
Well,
like
obviously.
That's not obviously, because people are thinking that he's actually going to be, you know, good in some ways, and that's not very true. I don't think that at all. And I think that one, you know, what is he going to offer? Because he's not qualified to join the December debates. Honestly, people should be falling off left and right. They should be saying like, hey, we're no longer going to be running because there's still way too many candidates in this race. And if we're going to take this, you know, this race seriously, 2020, we're at less than a year. To actually voting day, this needs to be like for real. Like, we need to at least have 6 candidates that we are actually genuinely looking at.
Right now, people joining,
it sounds stupid.
It's really weird. It's like you're late to the party, man. And it reminds me, there's so many comparisons I could make, like, you know, either applying to school later and through your privilege you get in, or, you know, getting the RSVP list is closed and somehow, you know, you finagle your way in. It doesn't really help the narrative right now if people are saying, oh, if he's like an influential person that Democrats would look up to, and also possibly the others who have not chosen a side, if he's coming in now, they might think, oh, does he think, like you mentioned, that there's no one that's worthwhile, and that sends a bad look. Now, here's what Donald Trump had to say today in terms of going up against Michael Bloomberg in 2020.
So I've known Michael Bloomberg for a long time. If you go back early on, he said a lot of great things about Trump, but I know Michael, he became just a nothing. He was really a nothing. He's not going to do well, but I think he's going to hurt Biden, actually. But he doesn't have the magic to do well. Little Michael will fail. He'll spend a lot of money. He's got some really big issues. He's got some personal problems, and he's got a lot of other problems. But I know Michael Bloomberg fairly well, not too well, fairly well, well enough. He will not do very well.
All right, can we start?
We know what that means, right? We can translate that as Trump is actually
scared,
probably scared of
anytime
him.
He like just berates someone.
For sure. I think that that's really what that means. And it's been proven how he's talked about Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden. I mean, this is the whole reason why we're going through these entire impeachment things, where he's afraid of Joe Biden winning and beating him. So he needs someone, a foreign entity to look into him. Like, this is his normal playing game. He thinks he could just add a little nickname or call him out or something. And it's just childish.
If Bloomberg's team was smart, he would start a whole thing of like Little Michael merch. Like, I want to see the meme, Little Michael meme out there.
I don't think any presidential candidate would want to adopt.
But someone viral, like BuzzFeed or some viral video, viral.
It's not all about virality, Shira. It's a presidential election. We need to be taking this super seriously.
Come on. Memes are just, you know, day.
When I tell you, I'm really actually becoming over it, especially because this is a very serious thing. And if we continue to play, Trump is going to win. And honestly, I'm over the amount of people that are still in still trying to convince us that they're going to be president. You're not even polling. Some of these people are. And they're still trying to convince us. I mean, like, Tom Steyer, like, what are y'all doing? Like, drop out of the race and let us actually get down to business.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens because he did file in Alabama. Alabamans are picking their Democratic nominee on March 3rd. The state has a filing deadline today, so that's why it happened. And more to come on that one. Let's move on to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea, Ryan?
Yes. So coming up in 7 minutes, hearts of fans of Jeff Goldblum are breaking everywhere after he defends Woody Allen. Ooh. I'm pissed, and I'm spilling all the tea coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Well, 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 we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. Mm-hmm. And yet another actor, has come to the defense of Woody Allen. And honestly, just like, let's just spit in my face, why don't you? And Jeff Goldblum. He has come to Woody Allen's defense, and I'm very, very sad about this. And a lot of people actually are actually pissed about it, saying that he would gladly work with him again because he said there's a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. So, you know, Jeff, you know him from, like, you know, Jurassic Park. I know him because he has a fabulous wardrobe, and he's like the sexiest old man I've ever seen in my entire life.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, you know, Woody Allen on the other end, who has been long been accused of sexually abusing his adoptive daughter, Dylan Allen, and, you know, Jeff basically was asked about him in a new interview, and he says this. He says, "I think there is a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. I know I enjoyed working with him many years ago, and I sat in the, I sat in with his band once too." And you know, Goldblum actually worked with Allen on the 1977 film Annie Hall. He added in that interview, he said, "Even though I feel like this cultural shift, the Me Too movement, is very, very positive and long overdue, I support it." And I support it wholeheartedly and take it very seriously. I also admire his body of work. So I would consider working with him again until I learn something more. So let's pause. So anytime you are going to say that you understand a cultural moment like the Me Too movement or Black Lives Matter or, you know, queer people in general, but then you're saying, oh, my God, I support them so much. And then there's a big but that basically is inserted at the point of that, it literally destroys anything that you probably just said. Because if you support something, you support something. You stand with these people. You stand with the Me Too movement and everything that it stands for. And this idea of, like, saying, like, oh, I still admire his body of work, and I would totally work with him again, is defeating the purpose of everything that people have gone through, especially with Woody Allen. And, I mean, Scarlett Johansson is that one of those actresses where I'm still confused on how she's still somewhat successful, even though she is a woman not standing with other women who have gone through stuff, especially with Woody Allen. And so fans quickly came to pile onto him.
That's,
you,
like,
know?
It's not a hard one. It's simple. Like, I've said on this show even, like, I love his movies. It's hard now to watch his movies without thinking about him and all the horrible stuff that has come out consistently about him. And so how do you answer if a question like this? So if Jeff, like, what would have been the better answer? Saying, I have respect. I have been in one of his movies. Yeah. I have liked his work. But in the end, I stand with victims of sexual assault and of who are involved with the Me Too movement.
My thing is, he could have ended it at, I also admire his body of work. I think that he could have just ended that because, you know, he already had said he feels like this, the cultural shift that's happening is very positive and long overdue, and he supports it. And he also takes it very seriously. But then he's going to add this big but at the end of this, talking about, you know, until I learn something more, I'm going to continue to work with him. And it's just like, dude, what are you talking about? And fans were quickly to point that out, where they said, Jeff, defending Woody Allen is just further proof that even the nicest of men can be disappointments. And that in itself is exactly the issue with Hollywood. Others were tweeting that Goldblum is canceled. That's not happening because, like I said, he is just too fine.
Yeah, it's not going to happen necessarily. But, I mean, it seems like, and you were maybe going to mention this, but, like, Amazon, and I'm surprised at this. I didn't realize this, that they backed out of this film deal with Allen in the wake of some renewed scandal.
Yeah.
And they're one of the first because I feel like so few people have, despite so much coming out about him. So, I mean, like, I continue to see his movies being played. I mean, they're on planes. I'm on a plane where I catch up on all my movies and all of his movies.
Are you searching for Woody Allen movies?
No, they're there.
I don't know. It
romantic
like
comedies.
Sounds like you're searching for Woody Allen movies. But we got to move on with What's the Tea, because actually we're going to give you a couple updates from some stories that we talked about earlier this week, you know, involving T.I. and what happened to, you know, his daughter. She's actually kind of doing some things that are showing, you know, us that she agrees with everyone coming for her dad. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere, honey.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And okay, so I wanted to do a quick little update because it's Friday. You know, we talk about all the hot tops. Look what I did there.
Is that the first time? I've never heard that before.
Hot topics?
Hot
tops. I just stopped at a hot top.
We're just getting lazier and lazier.
No, but I love some tops. I love tops, so hot tops.
I like tops too.
No, you can't like tops.
But I like actual tops that cover my stomach.
I'm talking about mint. You know what? Somebody get Shira out of here. No, but we talked earlier about T.I. You know, if you weren't familiar, if you haven't seen it everywhere, I don't know what cave you've been hiding under. But T.I., he is a media mogul. He's a rapper. And he came under fire for some truly effed up things, he said, about accompanying his 18-year-old daughter, Deja Harris, to the gynecologist to make sure her hymen is still intact. Here is a brief little clip of what he said on this podcast.
Not only have we had the conversation, we have yearly trips to the gynecologist to check her height.
Oh, you okay? I'm done with you right now.
So, you know.
Do you go with her?
She's a prisoner. Yes, I go with her.
You go with her. Somebody check on.
So that clip goes on more and more as you you hear the women of the podcast, the ladies of those podcasts, they're like laughing. The podcast is called The Ladies Like Us, Nazeen, Mandy, and Nadia Mohim. Nazeen is actually Miguel's wife, if you are familiar with the singer Miguel. It's his wife, and it's interesting. So a lot of people started to notice that they were like, what does, you know, this 18-year-old girl Deja Harris have to say about this? Like, you know, she's turned off her comments on her Instagram. She's probably so embarrassed by this entire thing. And actually, Entertainment Tonight, they noted and they saw that she appeared to be making her opinion quite clear by liking some pretty pointed tweets that described her father as being possessive. Oh. Here's some of the tweets that she liked. She liked, "This is disgusting, disgusting, possessive, and controlling." Someone else, that tweet that she liked, she says, it says, "I'm good on my own, and that is just beyond possessive." Now, back to these ladies on this podcast, because a lot of people were actually, you know, not only calling T.I. out, but they were calling those ladies out for sitting there laughing and basically taking this as a light joke instead of calling him out and saying, dude, this is weird. You should not be treating your daughter this way. They actually released a statement because they said, first off, they called it a knee-jerk reaction. They were completely caught off guard. And they said they admitted that looking back that we should have acted much more differently in the moment. In a joint statement, it says, "The comments that were made and the reaction that followed are not in any way a reflection of our personal views on the topic. We support and love women and feel that their bodies are theirs to do as they wish. There was absolutely no ill intent toward any party involved and feel deeply awful about the entire incident."
You see, there's a whole other side to this that I saw of like hosts, when inappropriate things are said, you kind of giggle and laugh, which you shouldn't do, obviously, but in the moment you kind of like can't believe it's happening. And it reminds me of like, if there were men interviewing him and this happened, we'd be probably canceling those men, but obviously because it was women, we let it go. Like we have more leniency. And like, remember the obviously the Donald Trump clip.
I don't think they have any leniency of the people. People have been like dragging them just as hard as they've been dragging.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Wendy Williams was called them disgusting. on,
so you think
on
if they had
television.
A more traditional job, they would probably be fired? Like, if it's this is their podcast, obviously.
Well, this is their podcast, and honestly, here's the thing. I think...
Because Billy Bush was fired for the whole Donald Trump thing, and he like that was a nervous laugh.
Well, and it was obviously... It was honestly deserved. I mean, I understand the idea of, like, getting nervous around, you know, this big guest, and you don't want to offend them, and you're kind of just letting them say what they're saying, and you just... You don't think about it, and you're kind of being nervous, but I think a part of the job comes with calling people out in some ways and holding them accountable, and for me, I've done that. Who was... Who did we have on our old show, Circle Pop Live, before that I called out. What was his name?
Oh my God, the
it wasn't Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore.
Was it Pauly Shore?
And was it?
I think it may have been Pauly Shore. Well,
it was.
Pauly Shore came on our show and said some disgusting transphobic things. And in that moment on air, I had to call him out and I had to completely get him together. I could have just laughed and been giggly about it, but I didn't because it was.
I was trying to defuse the situation just by being like, okay, guys,
but
like,
that's
we're
not,
gonna move on.
I just don't believe in that because no matter if there's cameras or if there's a mic in my face, I'm going to hold people accountable and they're not going to say things to a community that I love and represent. And so I do think you have to take this job serious, no matter how, you know, fun and you know, it can be. So I don't know. I want you guys to continue to sound off. Head over to WeAreChannelQ.com to deep dive into the story and see more of entertainment, pop culture stories that we have. And keep us favorited on the Radio.com app.
Okay, there's another big endorsement for Elizabeth Warren that came out today. We'll tell you who coming up next on What's Trending in the News, top of the hour.
Let's go there. With Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. A teenager and her family are accusing a Catholic high school of homophobic abuse, including counseling sessions forced on the teen without her parents' knowledge. Now, you might be surprised because this happened while Magali Rodriguez was attending a high school in Los Angeles. Rodriguez and her girlfriend tried to keep a low profile, avoiding public displays of affection, but staff continually singled them out, separating her from her girlfriend, threatening to out her to her parents. Officials say that the student's claims are not entirely accurate. Her parents have since transferred her to a more supportive environment. Wow. All right. So, yeah, it shows you don't need to
as
be in the middle of America for things to happen. Things happen everywhere, even in Los Angeles, where we're supposedly progressive.
No, but Catholic is still a religious high school. That's the thing where you also have to think, just Los Angeles and California in general is not really that liberal, Shira. There's really a lot of places where they're mostly red. Like Orange County, mostly red.
Yeah.
It's a very conservative place. There's a, you know, I think that's what shocks a lot of people. I mean, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of people here that come to Los Angeles and they come to California to feel, you know, safer in a lot of spaces, but there's still those, you know, towns in those places where it is very conservative.
All right. Well, something.
So it happens anywhere.
Yeah, we're
can't just label.
Shedding
you know.
The light on.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to Senator Elizabeth Warren, who yesterday got an endorsement from a group of more than 100 black women activists who praised her as a leader who can implement major changes. Now, Black Women 4 released a lengthy statement and video of the endorsement. Here's what they had to say.
She has a track record of taking on the predatory policies that harm our communities. We've come together as a collective voice, and we hope to encourage others, especially black women and gender non-conforming folks, to join us.
We are all in for Warren. And if you are too, go to blackwomen4.org, sign the endorsement statement, and join us.
Yeah.
You know, some of our favorite, like Ashley Marie Preston, my good friend, Clarkeisha Kent. There are a lot of amazing people that, black women of all kinds, black, trans, cis women, gender nonconforming, non-binary people are all a part of this. And it was beautiful to have seen this. I saw this last night and I was like, wow, this is actually a huge deal for Elizabeth Warren. And once again, no shade, Kamala Harris. This is kind of, I think people are going to be looking at this like, what is happening here? Because it seems like, you know, Elizabeth Warren is doing what she has to do. And I appreciate that she started her campaign by enlisting, you know, Ashley Marie Preston, who is a trans woman of color that is one of the biggest activists from D.C. to everywhere across the world. And she's been on this show and it's wonderful to see this happen.
Well, yeah, Warren tweeted, black, trans, and cis women, gender nonconforming, and non-binary people are the backbone of our democracy, and I don't take this endorsement lightly. I'm committed to fighting alongside you for the big structural change our country needs. Now, a poll released last month shows Warren is the top choice candidate for 20% of black Democratic or Democratic-leaning voters, and that's actually an improvement from the 10% support that she got among black voters in an August survey. But former VP Joe Biden still remains ahead of her with 36%. Now, Nikki Arraguez-Lloyd, a transgender artist and activist, has unfortunately died at the age of 44. And she was known for causes including marriage equality and HIV awareness. She was just found dead at home. It's really unfortunate. Her husband, Houston-based artist William Lloyd, reported her death in a Facebook post yesterday, and no cause of death has yet been given. She was born in California, but spent much of her life in Texas. First became prominent in the 1990s. She was appearing on TV talk shows to discuss being transgender, which was, you know, very early on, and the fact that she contracted HIV when she was raped as a youth. And then her profile continued to become higher. William Lloyd, an artist, soon became her third husband. They ran a gallery together in Houston for a bit of time, and she became a stepmother to his two children. He wrote this on Facebook: "Every part of me hurts. I can't stop crying. Our kids can't stop crying. The matriarchal part of our family is just gone and will never be replaced. I'll love you forever, Tiger Lily. I'll never love again. Oy, you were and always will be the love of my life till we meet again." And of course, tributes are pouring in through social media. So rest easy. Nikki Arraguez-Lloyd, said one person, "We have the watch, fair winds and following seas." Now, coming up, it's obviously the weekend, so maybe you've made a ton of plans, but all you want to do is hang at home and do nothing. Well, we are here to help you. Coming up, how to cancel plans with your friends while not feeling like a jerk.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We've all been there. You make plans with friends, and then the time comes, and all you do is feel like canceling and just doing nothing at home.
I mean, most of the time, that's what I do. I love to cancel.
And so...
or just not text back.
Oh, that's always nice.
Yeah, it is.
Well, there's, I think, a right way to do it and a wrong way. And I think a lot of times,
lies.
most people, unlike you, Ryan, will feel bad about canceling.
What is, first of all, what is the right, like, what is the right way and the wrong way of doing it?
How dare about you? It and honest and communicative versus just
I'm not in a relationship
someone?
With you. I'm sorry. It's a friendship thing.
And friendships are relationships.
No. First of all, friends, they understand.
They understand you going MIA.
Real friends understand when, like, you know, if you don't want to be bothered and you're just, if you don't text back, or if you're like, if something, they like try to invite you somewhere and they're like, oh, and your response is in the, as probably like, oh, yes, I totally want to go. They understand. They read between the lines. I think that's what real friends are all about.
I'm not talking about answering if you want to go out. If you've already made plans and then you want to flake out on them, I wouldn't say that's the best way to do
no,
it.
No, they still understand.
Okay.
I've canceled a ton of times.
Well, yeah. So you're the queen of canceling, then.
Yes.
So
yes,
what are your strategies? And then we'll go into this article from self.com, and they talk about how to cancel plans without losing your friends and feeling like a jerk.
I can't give away my tips just in case people are listening, because then they'll know like what I lie about. But sometimes, yeah, I will lie about something, or like say, oh, I have something
so
else
you
came
lie,
up.
You lie. That's
sometimes
your
I lie. Sometimes, but if it's like a real friend.
Wait, yesterday we talked about if the hornier you are, the more you'll lie. So you must be a very horny person because you've been lying a lot to your friends.
That is, I don't even know how you connected that. That was a real stretch. That was like if you were like the thing from like the Fantastic Four, and you like just stretched your arm. That was a reach.
But you seem to, that is a consistent lying thing.
But I'm not horny, and I don't talk about being horny. So.
Okay, maybe you think it. You don't need to talk about it to be it. Anyway.
I don't know, Sheer. There's no way. So, you can't take that intervention and make it mine. So that was your intervention.
How do you cancel plans, though? So you lie.
I said I lie sometimes.
Okay.
But if it's like my real friends, like if it's just an associate, for sure I will lie and be like, hey, let's reschedule. But if it is like a friend, they already know that if I don't respond back to the text message, then I'm not going.
That's true.
Like everyone knows that.
But I don't care. I think that you have some friends that care. That some friends like I don't like. I have enough going on, and a lot of times
no one should care unless it's like going somewhere where like you're asking them. I need you to be there with me.
Yeah.
If it's just like just to hang out, you can hang out at any time, and especially when people understand. Like as adults, I think as high school kids, you know, at one point. Are just younger college kids, and even that, like, I think it would hurt your feelings a little bit more and the drama would ensue. But as full-fledged adults in our career, like, the people around me, they do not care. Half the time, they want to be in the bed.
All right, well, what about if it's just someone that you actually made a specific plan with? If they text you, so I'll see you in an hour, you're just not going to answer?
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't. I have a rule about that. So you never text an hour before. You text at least 2 to 3 hours before to cancel.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
if you
nice.
Cancel in advance, then that's I think that's doing a good job.
Yeah,
or sometimes emergencies
LA,
happen.
Well, yeah, emergencies aside, an hour in LA, they might already be in the car.
Or emergencies happen. Quote unquote.
Quote unquote. Okay. Well,
yeah, I can't tell you how many times Coco has been sick. My dog. I have lied so many times about Coco being sick because I'm like, I know she's not going to be sick. Like, that's not something I got to knock on wood about because I watch her like a hawk. So she ain't doing that she ain't supposed to be doing.
I never use the health thing because of just bad juju. Like, I'm scared of the health thing.
You only use the health thing on things that you control or on family members
dog.
Or family members that have died already.
Oh, my. You've done that?
Yeah,
oh my
for
God.
Sure. For sure.
Okay. Well, there might be, you know, I think it is important to cancel because part of canceling is self-care, by the way, because you don't need to be everywhere. A lot of us can over-plan or over-schedule. You know, we all want to be doing everything these days, but you also might be on the other side, and we've talked about this, Ryan, where sometimes you're like, I need you to push me to go out because you might end up staying at home too much in a way, like alienating yourself.
Yeah.
And that could go back into like some mental health stuff or maybe someone's depressed.
True. Yeah.
And as a friend, you need to be like, no, you are coming out, right? And as an individual, you also need to kind of ask those questions to yourself. Am I staying home because I actually do need this time? I have to be honest with myself. Or am I doing it because I'm trying to protect myself and I might be in a bad place?
Well, yeah, I feel like, you know, my best friend has noticed, you know, when I have like just been locked in my room or just I haven't really said much and like I don't really talk and I don't like try to do things because one, I'm either really tired or if he's noticed like there's something going wrong, he'll actually be like, hey, like when's the last time like you've been to therapy? Like when is that? Like that's his way of like checking in on my mental health. And I think that's super important to always kind of be there. And I think one thing that I listened to a podcast and someone said, you should always check on your strong friends because you never know, like, you know, your strong friends are always usually ones that act like they're always on it and they're good. But sometimes you should check on them. And when you start noticing a pattern that they are, canceling and doing these things, like maybe that's your time to check in and make sure everything is okay. Like if you haven't seen them like in 3 or 4 times that y'all tried to make plans, then maybe something's going on.
That's true. Well, here, how to cancel plans graciously and gracefully. Think about whether you can adjust the plans. All right, we're going to get into next, and then we have a hot topic we're about to get into. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get into how to cancel plans in the best way possible right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are back talking about how to cancel plans without being a jerk. And Jarrett Hill from Drop the Subject is actually joining us because he's going to be with us for the next segment.
Uh-oh.
We're going to get through this quickly because the next one is juicy, the next part, the segment we're doing.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
So, how to cancel plans graciously. Do you have any words of wisdom, Jarrett, before I go into the official expert?
You know what? I've had to just start being really honest about stuff like, oh, I'm really tired. Or, oh, I can't. Like
honesty. That's good.
I have to be really honest because like I'll get caught up in the lie. And they'll be like, oh, but I thought your mom was visiting. And be like, no, what happened? And like, I'll spiral out of it.
Too much.
You don't owe nobody no explanation.
I just, and I've also stopped explaining. Sometimes I just say, I can't
like,
come.
Like, stop explaining yourself.
I'll either be very honest or I just won't give an explanation. I'll just say, I can't
like,
come.
I am grown. I am not reporting to the principal's office. If I don't want to go, I don't want to go.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Abrasive.
Period.
So here are some tips from the experts. Think about whether you can adjust the plans in any way.
Oh my God. Can I actually read? I'm sorry. I can keep going.
Try to be as honest as possible while you're canceling. Be considerate. That's part of being honest. Own what you should have done differently and make sure your tone apology is appropriate for the nature of the event. Of course, if you're missing like someone's wedding.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Or like an engagement party. Baby shower.
I feel like
there's certain
big
things.
I've missed the wedding.
How?
I missed my best friend's wedding that I grew up with.
No.
How? You're a trash human being.
Kind of. Yeah. But also, I was poor and I couldn't afford the ticket. And
well, that's different that's if honest. You told him.
So thanks for being, thanks for calling me a trash human being because
right.
I was poor.
I'm judging you for being poor.
Thanks, Jared.
All right, let's move on to someone who's actually a trash
Jared
human
for president.
Being. And the president. And that's why I wanted Jared Hill here, besides your amazing insights on canceling plans.
Listen,
he
I'm doing my best.
Trash talks about trash very well.
Wow.
From Drop game Subjects game. With Jared and Allie. Okay, so we loved this article on Slate.com where the writer literally researched which Trump child is winning the fight for their father's public affection. And he did this in many ways, seeing how many times Trump retweeted his children, mm-hmm. how many times he maybe quote tweeted one of the children, how many times his children appeared on Fox News. It was really amazing what this writer did.
So, yeah, you know, I think this is coming up in because, you know, there's a great show on HBO called Succession, and it follows a family that is a huge media. They own a huge media company, and this family is absolutely terrible. And their father is in charge, and there's four kids who are trying to basically become heirs to the throne and really try to fight for daddy's attention. And in some ways, people are making this comparison to Donald Trump and his children. And I see it, and I absolutely love it. And I can't wait to talk about white people just trying to beg for attention. It's amazing.
Okay, so I guess off the bat, before we get into the stats, who do you think would win?
I mean, I feel like the easy answer for me is Ivanka. I feel like he wants to do Ivanka. He's always talking about how he wants to do Ivanka.
Speaking
how
of.
Pretty he thinks he is. How if they weren't his statement was if she weren't his daughter, he'd be dating her.
Oh, we have that clip. You want to play it real quick? Let's play.
If they were using her to,
I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine. Although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know.
Stop it. Oh, it's so.
He's just such a freaking creep.
Like, cringe moment.
Yeah. I just think I think it's easy for Ivanka to do anything to win that award if she wanted to.
Well, she has gone with him traveling. She's worked with him.
Yeah. Well, you got to think about it like this. Ivanka literally looks like all the women that he likes. So it's one of those things where it's gross that I'm saying this, but I think of, you know, Game of Thrones. I'm kind of relating it into that way because there's a lot of incest there. You know, it's one of those things with Trump. He likes pretty women, and he wants his daughter to be pretty and gorgeous.
So,
I mean, they paid a lot of money for her to be pretty and gorgeous. So.
We have a lot of opinions
now. That's just data.
I'm not giving
an opinion.
Facts are facts.
She's pretty naturally.
I don't know what she looks like naturally. She's had a lot of work.
Period.
So we have a lot of opinions here, but actually we're going to go to some data, and we're going to get into who actually is the best Trump child right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We are back talking about Trump's kids, and if we were going to create a race, then who would be winning the race for his affection? It kind of reminds of Succession in many ways. I mean, I've only watched a bit of the first season.
It only reminds you of that because I said it reminded you of, me of that.
I'm quote tweeting.
Yo, she just came
Zion
back from the break and just
Mitchell.
Stole my whole bit.
Wow. You guys are lit up in here.
She just stole my whole bit.
The sass is in the building.
I'm saying.
He
comes in at the end of Drop the Subject sometimes and just bursts through the door. And I'm like, we're on the air.
Jared Hill and Drop the Subject. That's the voice you hear, the voice of reason here.
Hey, boos.
I dropped the subject with Jared
and Allie.
It's
crazy for me to have to be the voice of reason sometimes because I hear me in my head sometimes. And
yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
Yikes.
Okay, so let's get into it. This comes from an article in Slate.com, a great writer. We want to say she because I was saying he. Ashley Feinberg. Shout out to Ashley for this one that inspired us today. So we were giving our opinions about who we thought would win, but there's actually, she did some research and based on a bunch of different things, it seems like Donald Trump Jr. is on top.
I mean, so what's interesting is Donald Trump Jr. went on The View yesterday, which...
Oh, the most explosive interview, and it was a train wreck.
Ever there was a train wreck looking for a station to happen in. It was Donald Trump Jr. And Kimberly Guilfoyle sitting at the table with the ladies of The View.
Oh, my God.
I watched it this morning because I was on the air as it was happening, so I was like trying to watch it literally while we were in music and commercial breaks. And Donald Trump Jr., talks as if he is Donald Trump. Like, him being Donald Trump Jr. is not a mistake.
No, it's not a joke. I think
he's a bit better looking.
It's one of those things where...
That slick to the side hair situation.
I think it's interesting because if we are doing the whole succession thing, he reminds me of Kendall Roy, who one goes through this ups and downs of trying take
Kendall.
Down his dad, also is also trying to win the affection of his dad. And I think in a lot of ways, when I was watching that interview of The View, I was like, wow, this is so crazy how a lot of times you know shows the inspiration. I was like, I wonder if this was the inspiration for a lot of, you know, the show. Because Donald Trump Jr., he has been one of those outspoken, seems like he's trying to be another clone of his dad in some way.
Well, but also, you know, the Trump children joke around about becoming political figures, right? About possibly running for office one day. And it's just like, oh my God, could you guys please not? Could you
like the Bushes? They want to be like the next Bushes?
Yeah, or the Kennedys?
They want to be the, well, I think they'd rather be the Bushes than the Kennedys. Yeah, well, the Kennedys, I mean, they had a lot of people too.
And they were also like more like, they tried to be stars, like in terms of like,
And isn't there a curse on the Kennedys? Yeah.
Okay, I was trying not to say that, but I mean.
And that's why I'm like, why would you want to be the Kennedys?
I mean, the Kennedys have had a good run. I feel like the Trumps really would like to maintain control as long as they could. Although Donald Trump acts like he doesn't see himself leaving office. So I don't know. When I look at the children, though, I do find that they are kind of like attack dogs for him, but I feel like in very different ways. Donald Trump Jr., he loves to be outspoken and ratchet on Twitter.
More than anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know who we haven't mentioned, though? Eric Trump.
I was going to say, what's interesting about this is that there are three other kids that are not Donald or Ivanka. There's Tiffany, and there's Barron.
But Tiffany...
Well, Barron is barely there.
Barron's a baby. Being one of his age and probably trying to navigate this world.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I honestly can't imagine that. And,
well, and like, I mean, there's plenty of reporting that, you know, questions, you know, Barron's health, and like, it seems like there's some other things there, and like Donald Trump only wants perfection, and he probably, you know, has some issues with affection for Barron, and he has issues with affection for Tiffany.
Wasn't there reports that were saying that Barron was possibly like autistic in some ways?
There are some questions about him possibly being on the spectrum just based on like some public observation. And so like, I mean, we don't know that, right? But like, I mean, if that is the case, I'm sure that Donald Trump would not love that.
That would have been worse.
He would probably hold that against, you know, Melania or someone.
If he was, that would have been a beautiful platform for Melania to have made her thing instead of cyberbullying, which her husband has no clue. And she hasn't really even done anything with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Part of supporting cyberbullying is promoting cyberbullying.
I mean, listen.
Right?
Tiffany, though,
is all about meditation and everything.
I were Tiffany, I'd be meditating, too.
Tiffany's trying to stay as far as away from this. You know that she was just in the whole, the press regarding the Trump assistant that had got drunk and talked to a reporter saying that she was closer to Trump than any of the kids were.
I mean, she's probably not wrong.
And also that Trump called Tiffany like the fat one.
Which seems like something that Donald Trump would do.
She would end up like going back to spirituality.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, we don't know what Donald Trump is actually saying or doing, but like none of it seems out of the realm of possibility for things that he would say or do. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Jared Hill, from Drop the Subject with Jared and Allie.
Thank you, Shira.
Look out for their amazing promo.
Love you, Jared.
All right, we've got What's Trending in the News top of the hour coming up right after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so What's Trending in the News top of the hour. Today is Intersex Day of Remembrance. Now, intersex people are people who are born with a sexual autonomy that doesn't fit into the typical binary notions of male or female bodies. They're born with a variation of multiple sex characteristics. So every year is November 8th. Today is observed as Intersex Day of Remembrance or Intersex Solidarity Day. And it's a civil awareness day that highlights the struggles and issues battled by intersex people across the world and their lack of representation because a lot of times other sections of the LGBT community are put into focus. So the intersex community is often sidelined, which is why it's so important to talk about it today. And actually, the birthday started because of a noted French intersex person, Herculine Barbin. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it in French, whose memoir, studied by Michel Foucault, gives us a great glimpse of the struggles that most intersex people face. So we just wanted to honor anyone who is intersex, or if you have friends or family that are intersex, something that we all get to remind ourselves about today, or just be an ally.
Yes.
There you go.
Now, it's a little early yes queen.
It is an early yes queen. And speaking of which, we do have our yes queen of the day coming up next right here on Let's Go There. And by the way, if you missed any of today's show, just a reminder, we do put it up as a podcast on our site. We are channelq.com and wherever podcasts are available. But speaking of our yes queen of the day, our next one is super cool. It's coming up right after this. A church has released an LGBTQ inclusive app for kids. So we're going to get into
it. Really?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, that's coming up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's time for our Yes Queen of the Day.
Hi, yeah. Queen.
That looked like, that sounded like it hurt your throat.
No, that was me doing, I always do a different one, Shira. We've been doing a show for a year now.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
That's crazy. All right. This one is really cool. The Metropolitan New York Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, that's a mouthful, has released an LGBTQ inclusive app for children. This is so cool. The app features 6 different games. In one of them, children can marry couples of the race, ethnicity, and gender identity of their choosing, including same-sex pairings. After kids pick out their avatar outfits, gender non-conforming attire is an option. The couple is wed by a minister and then greets the public as flower petals shower down and fireworks explode. How cute is that? The result, they say in this press release, is a joyful experience to help engage and educate kids in the beauty of the accepting and welcoming the love of God. So the bishop said he was thrilled to bring the app into the world. This new innovative app will aid the youth in expanding their Christian education and developing a humanly perspective of the gospel. Now, we talk a lot about, and obviously you go to church. You've been to you were raised Catholic, right? Christian.
Pentecostal.
Sorry. I mixed up.
Are we even friends? I don't even know if we're even friends anymore, guys. Shira knows nothing about me. No. One show, we will do a quiz on who knows the most about each other, and I bet you I win.
Let's do a quiz before the end of the year.
I will win.
So anyway, but we talk about how churches, there is not a lot of inclusivity, obviously, and what it was like for you growing up, going to church and all that.
Church.
Yeah. Oh, I said the Catholic, or no, Pentecostal.
I was making a joke.
Oh, okay. Then I was like, now I'm getting confused. At any rate,
it's just gonna blow up.
I will.
Like abort. Yeah.
I wish there was like that, and then I could just put myself back together.
Like
again.
A computer, yeah. Like literally.
So I love though how this church is doing something different that is so needed right now, and what a great example for other churches, one across America and around the world. And the fact that it's an app, obviously anyone can download it. Again, it is called the Metropolitan New York Synod's Children's App. SYNOD. So yeah, something to check out. Download it if you're interested. And if you are someone who's religious, a different way to educate your kids and get them involved and get them to welcome other types of people into their life and the world.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's available in the Apple and Google Play stores. That was our Yaz Queen. But we do usually on Fridays do our own personal Yaz Queens of the week. So Ryan.
You first.
Me first.
Okay. Yeah, no, first. I was ladies first. Ladies first. I'm a Southern man.
No,
I have
really?
All the I Southern
you were
gentlemen.
A Southern queen.
I am a Southern man, and I love
all right,
to
what
give.
What is my yes queen of the day?
Your turn.
All right, improv skills and no.
You should have a yes queen.
I know. I was thinking about this one, and I didn't think of my own. I guess I just never really think of my own things.
Today is Shira's first day.
My Yaz Queen of the week.
Honestly, I needed time to think about mine too.
You're an ass. You're the worst.
It's okay,
my
it's okay.
Yaz Queen of the week goes to. Mm-hmm. I will, even though I have said not Jay Shetty, even though he has done questionable things. I love his podcast.
Is your Yaz Queen going to be someone that's done
no,
questionable
because,
things?
No, but he's all right. He did one thing that was questionable, but. He has a podcast. Still questionable. Right. His podcast is actually really good. It's called On Purpose, and I've been listening to it, and I really enjoy it. And it's a good reminder about things we get to learn as people to better ourselves. And like, I really would recommend it. On Purpose, Jay Shetty, and Google him and see the other stuff that's happened. But he wasn't problematic in like a bad way, like we talk about. He just did some things on Twitter. Like, he should have given credit to some people, and he didn't.
That is still very problematic.
That's like, I feel like the least problematic thing.
What do you mean? There's no such thing as the least problematic thing. Once it's problematic, it's bad.
Anyway, do you want to give yours?
Yes. Oh, my God. So my yes queen actually goes to two people, two of our guests that we had this week, Laganja Estranja.
You're smart. You always
and
do the guests.
And Nana Ghana, which we actually bumped into this week again, and how amazing they're doing. They have a project. If you didn't hear that interview, you should head over to We Are Trinity right now or listen to the podcast. But they, Nana Ghana, she's incredible. She's partnered with Rosario Dawson, who's executive producing her new documentary about, you know, redefining what the everyday woman is. And
LA Woman Rising, definitely worth checking out this weekend.
It's pretty amazing.
If you you want something to watch.
And I love Laganja. That was like a big yes queen for me.
Yes.
Because I'm a fan of hers from Drag Race, and so shout out to that.
Okay, that was our yes queen of the day. Coming up, can you diagnose your STDs on Reddit? Some people seem to think so. That's coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Oh, this is an interesting story. It's happening. You know, you go to Reddit for a lot of things, for fun images, interesting stories, things that are going viral.
I have never been on Reddit. I feel like
really?
I've always made, and don't take this wrong, anyone listening.
Okay.
But I've always thought Reddit was like for like kind of nerdy people.
It is a nerdy, yeah.
And I love that. And that's cute. Nerds, I'm actually very
nerds
attracted
and dudes.
To nerds.
There's a lot of dudes on Reddit.
Nerds can be dudes.
I'm
nerds
just saying
can
nerds
be
nerds and dudes.
But what's the difference between a nerd and a dude?
I don't know. Like, it happens that a lot of the...
Explain your white terminology to me.
There's nerds that are women.
Yeah.
There's all types of nerds. But I was just saying, there's a lot of, like, I know a lot of guys in the tech space that are, like, Reddit. They're Reddit guys.
So nerds.
And dudes.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Either way, I was saying... I was saying, so, you know, I've always pictured it to be this space where, you know, kind of nerdy people do come together and they've kind of made their own community, kind of like a Tumblr. Like, Tumblr's very for artistic people, and Reddit was like that. But then Reddit ended up trying to, you know, bringing into the whole Drag Race world. And that was like the one time that I feel like I heard about Reddit was through kind of gay culture and like hearing about Drag Race and like... other like little subreddits. Yeah. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, it is. It's good for fandoms. Like, a lot of fandoms will come together there. And there was a site called dig.com way back in the day, if we're going to be really nerdy.
Are you dating yourself?
Yes, I thought dating because I did date the founder of Dig. Anyway, you can look that up. Why are you giving me that look? At any rate, I said viral because there's a subreddit and Reddit users are posting pictures of their junk down there in the hopes of getting
their private areas.
Yeah,
they're private areas.
In the hopes of getting an STD diagnosis from other users. Way to make it, you know, do it yourself, man.
I mean, what's the difference between this and just going to look on WebMD?
Well, because you might have professionals, but also other people are like, oh, I've had that. And you get, I think, a mixture of...
Ew.
Things
like people are like, oh, I found my like, I don't know, my STD brother and sister.
Also, if you think about it, with less people, not a lot of people having healthcare these days, you can't maybe go to the doctor, get some friends in the internet universe to help diagnose.
Do you
it
find
for you.
Some home remedies to get rid of? Like, how do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, maybe that too.
What do you do on this Reddit?
All right, so this is how it works. Yeah, you basically go into this subreddit, and people are as of January 2019, there were almost 17,000 posts, which included images of people's rashes, warts, assorted lesions. This is.
Okay.
A new study, though, published explains why this is not a great idea. It could actually be dangerous.
Rashes and warts and assorted lesions.
Slightly over half of the posts on the subreddit were explicitly requesting diagnoses, and 38% of those included photos. 90% of folks requested a diagnosis received one within a day. Okay.
But how do they know if they're, like, legit?
Well, that's the thing. 80% of those posting were who were posting about the initial diagnosis. The other fifth already had a diagnosis from a doctor. We're looking for second opinions.
On Reddit?
You know.
Reddit needs to be shut down because clearly I thought, you know, maybe I need to take back my nerd statement because I feel like nerds are like very, very smart people.
Yeah, a lot of them, they didn't want confirmation. They actually wanted a rebuttal because, you know, nerds are skeptical too. They're skeptics.
You know, when you read rashes, warts, and assorted lesions, oh my, it reminded me of Wizard of Oz.
They wanted to listen to this. According to this co-author of the study, they wanted the crowd to tell them, no, that's an ingrown hair and not a distinct sign of genital herpes.
Oh,
they actually wanted to go against.
Now that's interesting because there are some things, sometimes you don't, maybe like you said, you can't afford health insurance and sometimes you do find something and you're like, well, has anyone ever gone through that? We were actually just talking about that here in the studio about like, well, something totally different. But like, I was like, oh, I never knew someone went through this and like the same thing because I never talked about it with anyone. And then you find out people do go through
but
the same
in this case, they were actually looking for a rebuttal from their like to their doctor's diagnoses because they were in denial that it might be something else.
Were they going to go back to their doctor being like, you were wrong, my subreddit 6572 horny guy says it was not
oh
this.
Oh my God. Well, the study actually, and this response to what you asked, the study found the diagnoses offered by the crowd are often wildly inaccurate. Surprise, surprise. While the types of treatments users recommended frequently went against doctor's orders. Apple cider vinegar was a frequent prescription for everything from genital warts to HPV.
Actually, I've heard apple cider vinegar, if you drink some, you can lose weight. But and then I've heard the other side where you're not supposed to do that, so don't do it. Don't listen to me, because clearly I ain't lost no weight yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, don't do it. Don't take my advice.
All right. Good to know. So if you won't be on Reddit tonight or this weekend?
No, to be honest, I don't even think I know how to look through Reddit, because it's not like a regular website.
No.
It's like you have to search stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but you could somehow stumble on it. So next time you get something or you think you have something, you might want to go to a doctor and not the subreddit. We'll be back right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Well, that does it for today's show.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, if you missed any of the show, we posted as a podcast, any of the shows actually this week, on our website, wearechannelq.com or wherever podcasts are available again. But we will be back Monday, same time, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Now, enjoy some awesome music from DJ Lisa Pittman and DJ Alex D right here on Channel Q. Have a great weekend.